Appreciate the song service and two very humble prayers we had this morning. And I continue to stand in need of your prayers this morning as I attempt to speak to you. And again, my prayer always is that either through me or in spite of me, the Lord will bless each of you with what he knows each one of you need. I'll echo the comments of Brother Kenny with regard to we should be inviting people to the church. We have a wonderful doctrine that would provide a lot of comfort to a lot of people out in the world today. We're not out trying to save souls. We're not out being missionaries and trying to do the work of the Lord. We're not going to be successful inviting anybody to the church that the Lord hadn't already been in their heart first. And you don't have to try to know or preach a lot of doctrine to invite someone to the church. All you got to do is be like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, after Jesus finished appealing to her, she went into town and said, "Come and see." She told the people, "Just come and see." And that's really all you have to do. We know they ended up with a crowd at the well that day for the apostles to preach to and baptize. And that's all you really have to say to anyone is, "I just want to invite you to come to our church, invite you to just come and see." We have a very simple service. Song service, prayer, preaching. We don't ask you to fill out a lot of cards and a lot of things that usually scare a lot of people away, but just come and see. So I encourage, like Brother Kenny, I will encourage each one of you to do that. I want to begin this morning in the book of Matthew. We have a great example here that I want to begin with, start to talk to you. And I'm in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus has conducted with his disciples the Last Supper. He's met with them. They've had the Last Supper. They've had the feet washing service. He has left now, and he's led his 12 disciples, actually 11 of them. Judas has already departed from them, but he has left his disciples. He's leading his disciples. They're all following him, and he goes out of Jerusalem east, goes down into the Kidron Valley and crosses it up and goes up on the Mount of Olives into a garden there that we all know is the Garden of Gethsemane. And an event takes place here that I want to focus on for just a moment. And hopefully they will be able to gain some benefit from this in what he teaches his apostles. Verse 36 says, Jesus comes with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he tells his disciples to stay there. They stay at the entrance to the garden. They're staying at the entrance to the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells them to sit while I go and pray. Verse 37, it says, but he took with him Peter and John and James, Peter and the sons of Zebedee, Luke and I believe Mark. This is both over in Luke chapter 22 and Mark chapter 14. Shows he takes these three of his apostles with him, and they go further into the garden. And he says, verse 38, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He asks these three disciples. He's left the other eight, I guess it is, out at the edge, outside the garden. He goes inside the garden. And then he tells these three that are with him, Peter and John and James, you wait here. I'm going to go in further and pray. Go over into Luke, and it says he traveled about a stone's throw away. I'm going to assume that's about to the back of this building, 20 or 30 yards. Some of you can throw further than that. But I think that's what we're talking about. He goes a little further away. He gets out of probably their hearing range, and he goes in and it says, and he went a little further. He fell on his face and prayed. And he prayed, this is what I really call the Lord's Prayer. It's where he prayed. And of course, more details of this are carried over in John 17 about what he's doing. But he prayed in verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He finds these three disciples, and I'm sure the other eight that are out in the edge of the field, they're probably all asleep. But we're in the middle of the night, remember? Finish this. This is before his arrest coming up in a little while. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he tells them, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he says, I know the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Do we have an hour to spend with the Lord? It's what Jesus says. He's, can y'all not stay and pray with me? Watch for me for 1 hour. Do we not have 1 hour a day that we could give to the Lord. I'm not talking about 1 hour a month, 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day in prayer to the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject of prayer, which Jesus was doing himself and which he was encouraging his apostles to do. You not have 1 hour for me. Now, he knows me really well because he makes that clear right here. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can tell myself, yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to spend an hour with the Lord today. I'm going to spend an hour with him every day. I'm going to do that. I'll make that commitment. I'm going to do it every day. And y'all know I'm lying to you right now. That won't last long. I'll have gone against that promise the minute I walk out of here and I get here, get out in the world and I get busy. And that's what these disciples had done. They had become weary. Their flesh is weak, even though their spirit is willing. You get out in the world, though, and I get busy. Do I have an hour beginning in the morning? In the morning, you know, I've got to leave here tonight. I've got to drive and do all my work, and I've got to do some work, and I've got to get up in the morning and worry about work, and I worry about all those things that comes with that. And I don't have time right now. I'll do it at the end of the day. I'll tell myself that. Of course, the end of the day, then, I'm tired. I'm tired of been working, and I run out of time and I run out of steam. I barely have 5 minutes. I do try to pray at nighttime when I lay my head on the pillow. And those things are good, and I'll pray because I have a lot of drive time. I try to pray when I'm driving a lot, whenever I can find the spare time. And that's what I want to talk to you about, is we have a lot of problems today, individually, our communities, and of course, at our national level. We have a lot of problems, and we wonder what happened to those, and what's happened that's caused those. We have problems in our families. We'll have difficulties personally, whether that's be financial or work, or with the family, with a spouse, with a parent, with a child. We all have these difficulties, and we don't know how to solve the problems. I know I get this way many times. I'll have problems. It may be, you know, at work or within my own personal life. I see problems at the national level, and there's no sense praying for the Supreme Court. I'm a little guy, and it won't do any good. We find ourselves not taking care of our problems. I may have a lot of personal problems. There's been times in my life when I've had financial problems, you know, and I figured the only thing I know to do is go to work and try to do it. And I'll come up with everything possible to try to solve that problem except praying. And then it'll, you know, finally hit me and I'll go, why don't you try praying? Christians have the most powerful weapon in the world, and that's the power of prayer. You can move mountains, that's what we're told. You can do all sorts of things through the power of prayer. You have been given a fantastic, wonderful, powerful weapon in prayer. You have a direct hotline between you and the Lord. Little old bitty guys like me think, I can go right to the Lord's throne at a moment's notice. That's more powerful than any army. It's more powerful than the army, the navy, the air force, the marines all together. You have more power than any of the weapons of mass destruction that we hear about to solve a lot of problems. Solve your personal problems, solve our community problems, to solve our church problems. We have a song here that all of you are very familiar with. It's 228, and I don't want to read all of it. I want to read a couple of verses here, and it's so good. As Brother Kenny started off this morning, we need to look at the words of our songs. They're all miniature sermons. 228, what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry a few things to him in prayer. Everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. You know, I worry a lot about things. Worry about things about my work, about my family, about church, about my ability to preach. And it says, I forfeit a lot of peace because I don't take it to the Lord. I need to take things to the Lord and rely on him. I need to spend an hour a day with the Lord. You know, if somebody came and told me, Don, I can get rid of a lot of your problems and your worries and your complaints, I need 1 hour a day of your time. I said, what's that going to cost me? Sounds good. Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? If I could have, like you give me a way to get rid of a lot of my worries, a lot of my griefs, a lot of my concerns. I hear the songwriter says, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The last verse. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. Thou will find a solace there. I want to talk to you about prayer this morning and the power you have in prayer. Maybe even some practical tips on how we need to pray. If you're like me, I need help. I need to know and understand how to pray. But we have an answer to a lot of our problems that we're not using, that we're forfeiting, because we don't take time to carry it to the Lord. We get busy in our world lives and all other things, and the last thing sometimes we think of is taking it to the Lord. Personal prayer. Let's look at some of the personal problems for a second. Go back with me, if you're in Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about almsgiving, then he talks about prayer. And over here, beginning in verse 9, he gives us what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It's really our prayer. He gives us an example of how we're to pray. I want us to look at that example a minute. We all know this, our Father which art in heaven. We can all recite it. We know it. But we stopped to take time about what that means. Go like this. We first of all acknowledge the sovereignty and supremeness of our Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're there to honor him, praise him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. It doesn't say on earth. That's what you hear in the world. But in earth, as it is in heaven. That means more than just on the surface of the earth. And look, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, help us today. Don't worry about tomorrow. He goes on here a little later and tells us our job is not to worry. Boy, there's a lot of us that need to be informed of that over and over again, isn't it? Because I worry about so many things. And he says, if you'll take it to the Lord, you don't worry about it. Lay it on him. Let him take care of it. And we'll get a tremendous blessing from that. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or our trespassers. We forgive our trespassers. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, where we stand right here, if we go about a mile and a half due east, is the Lubbock County Jail. They house the prisoners for not only the state and city, but also federal government. They house a lot of prisoners in there. There's a lot of people in there who didn't read this prayer. Look at the lot of problems that would be solved if they had read this prayer and followed its advice. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive our trespassers. You know, I get mad at somebody and I get unhappy with them. I'll just go shoot them. Now, how many guys, girls too, were in that prison because they didn't forgive people who trespassed upon them? Lead us not into temptation. How many people inside that jailhouse are there because they've been tempted. They've been coveted something else. They've been tempted to go do something else. They needed to have read this prayer. They needed to have an hour with the Lord in which they read this and recited it. Most of them wouldn't be there if they'd done what this calls for, calls us to do. This is a personal help. This is the model after which we're to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The jail would be empty. Hopefully most of our problems are not as severe as those, but we have a lot of problems. I want to be delivered from evil. I need to forgive my trespassers, and y'all know me, I'm an attorney. I'm in the trespass business. I have to try to follow that advice myself. It's difficult. But there's so much power in a prayer like this for yourself, for you personally. How about for your family? How about if you've got problems with your parents, spouse, children? I'm not going to go there, but you can. 15th chapter of Matthew, beginning in the 21st verse, Jesus is approached by a little Gentile woman, not a Jewish lady, but a Gentile woman. She said, my daughter is sick. She's vexed with spirit. She's sick. Can you help her out? Prays to Jesus to help, and Jesus ignores her. Doesn't say a word. The apostles have to call his attention. Hey, this woman is driving us batty. Can you take care of her? Says Jesus doesn't answer her. How many times have you gone to the Lord in prayer and I don't hear anything except crickets maybe? I've asked the Lord for help and I don't get an answer. I just want to quit and give up, go away. The Lord doesn't hear my prayers. The little Gentile woman didn't settle there. She came back and said, Lord, I need your help. And he came back and says, well, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we know that the sheep of the house of Israel includes us, Gentiles, these days, spiritual sense, and Jesus did too. But he was testing her with her prayer. And she said, came back and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I need help with my daughter. He said, it's not right for me to give what I have for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to give it to the dogs. Called her a dog. Now, this third time now, I'd have been discouraged. I'd have been discouraged and quit and probably walked away. She didn't quit. She came back again and says, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall at their master's feet. And that's what I'm asking for, is the crumbs. He gave her the whole feast. He gave her everything she had asked for because she didn't quit praying. He gave her all she requested. He said, your daughter is healed right now. Go see her, and she's healed. He solved her personal problems because she went to him, prayed to him, and went back repeatedly. She didn't quit when she felt like the Lord didn't hear her prayers. Had a young lady come to me, not a young lady, she was 50s. I think that's young these days. Came to me and she said, you know, she had a real bad health problem, had cancer really bad. And she said, you know, the Lord doesn't hear me, Brother Don. She said, he's not listening to me. He said, I've got cancer and he won't remove it from me. And I had this advice given to me, and it's good advice. The Lord doesn't always answer the way you think he ought to answer. You know, I'm real bad about that, about, Lord, I've got this problem. I got this problem with Brother Kenny. Here's what I want you to do about it. Go do this about it. I'm guilty about telling the Lord what I want. If I could fix it, I'd have already fixed it. If it went my way, would have fixed it. Sometimes the Lord, as I tried to tell her, sometimes the Lord heals you from the cancer. Sometimes he saves you by the cancer. And sometimes he saves you through the cancer. Sometimes he'll save you through the cancer. You know, you become one of the best counselors for someone else who has cancer. You get a great benefit from that. Let the Lord respond. We go to the Lord with our problems. Then we need to submit to whatever he calls for us to do in a personal sense. How about the nation? What I'm trying to tell you is prayer works. Prayer will work for you if we'll utilize it. It's a great privilege we have, as the song says. What a privilege we have. Privilege is greater than a right. Privilege is a right that we have ability to go exercise and get a blessing from. It's a special right, a privilege. And we have a privilege through prayer. But how about our nation? How do I fix the problems with the U.S. Congress, the presidency, the Supreme Court? I have no control over that situation. I have zero control. How am I going to solve that problem? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I'll hear you. I'll forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. You got one of the greatest weapons that'll work in Congress, with the presidency, and the Supreme Court. You do. Each one of you has this. Nobody has exclusive on it. Each one of you has the power of prayer. And the Lord tells us you can impact nations, the outcome of nations, by your prayer. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12, where Samuel is appealing to the people. They're wanting to get a king. They're not following the Lord like they ought to follow, and they want to elect them a king, and they've chosen Saul to be their king. And Samuel tries to talk them out of it. The Lord is your king. You don't need another king. No, they want, like other nations, they want to be like everybody else. We want our own king, a lot like our presidency. And Samuel tries to warn them. You get a king, he's going to tax you. He's going to take away your young men and women. He's going to create weapons of war. Sounds a lot like all our governments, doesn't it? Samuel tried to warn them, and they said, no, they wanted a king. And he goes, okay, you've rejected the Lord. you've gone for a king, but he said, let me tell you this. If you will humble yourselves and pray, if you'll pray to the Lord, he will bless both you and your king. If you'll pray to the Lord, he'll not only bless you, but he'll bless our government. You have the power, through the power of prayer, to affect the workings of government. If you don't like what's going on, the Lord tells us, then pray. Take it to him in prayer. You know, David committed a great sin one time. It's covered in 2 Samuel, I believe, chapter 21. He committed a great sin, did something the Lord told him not to do in numbering the people. The Lord told him not to do that, and he did it anyway. The Lord passed judgment on him, and he caused a great illness to fall on the land, a pestilence. And then an angel, David looked up, and there was an angel of the Lord on the hill above Jerusalem. Had his arm out, he was ready to wave it and destroy Jerusalem, destroy that entire nation that was there at Jerusalem. And David appealed to him and said, Lord, this is my sin. This is not theirs. Don't hold them accountable. Hold me accountable. Very humble prayer there in 2 Samuel chapter 21. And the Lord spared Jerusalem, spared the entire great city because of the prayer of one man. You have the ability to impact nations, work of nations, by your prayer. We should be taking advantage of it. I want to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, if I can find the right place. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. This is the Apostle Paul. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said, you go to the Lord in prayer, and you'll have peace. How many times do we worry? How many times do I worry about my children, about spouses, about family, about things at work? And I get caught up in worries, and I'll spend my time, and, you know, worry causes stress, and it's bad on your body. If you take it to the Lord in prayer, he said he'll give you a peace that you can understand. You got a problem. Those of us that have lost our spouses from time to time, many of us in this room I see are in that boat. It's hard. Apostle Paul tells us, grieve, but don't grieve like those that have no hope. He tells us here, take it to the Lord in prayer, and you'll have a peace that even you can't understand. Prayer works. That's one of the main reasons to do it. It works. We go to my second point now. Comes time to pray. I'm going to tell you this, like I saw this on a shoe advertisement. Just do it. Just pray. How do I pray? Just pray. You know, you think, well, Brother Don, I really don't know how to pray. It's embarrassing, and I don't want to tell anybody, but I don't know how to pray. You know, we've all been in that boat. I think a lot about one, a good friend. He's not with us anymore. Brother Garfield Watson. I thank Sister Ellen because she brought him to the church. Well, Brother Watson was what I would call a prayer warrior. He had his faults, but he could pray. I had an appointment at Littlefield for a while there, and Brother Watson and Ellen were members there at Littlefield. First time I heard Brother Watson pray, not only did he have this great baritone voice that you could hear, but the words he chose went right to my heart. He could pray. And I remember there one time after about the second time he prayed, and I'm going, wow. I go up and I talk to him, and I said, Brother Garfield, now, you know, joking a little bit, but I said, I need some hints. How do you pray like that? What can I do to pray like that? What's the secret of your prayer? And he said, Brother Don, I just pray. Lord blessed him with the power of public prayer. Now, not all of us like that. I'm reminded, you know, one time in my newspaper days, I was editor of the newspaper up at Hereford, and we had a city chamber of commerce banquet, and they invited this great sports figure, Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, a great hero of mine back when I was a kid, great baseball player for the New York Yankees, had all these home runs, a great hitter, fantastic hitter, natural hitter. And he came up there, and it was one of the joys, you know, of my life out in the world. I got to interview Mickey Mantle. He's hard to talk to because he just wasn't a very good talker. He was a great baseball player. And I talked to him and I said, you know, you were known for all these home runs, but all of that, you hit more triples than anybody, more doubles, and you led the league, and he was most valuable player. You led the league in batting average and hits. And I said, what was the secret of your hitting? Just purest hitter I've ever seen. And he goes, I don't know. I just hit. I just swing at the ball. He had a beautiful swing. Not all, but I said, you know, that doesn't help me much on learning how to play baseball. Brother Garfield, he just said, I just pray. I'm sure he wasn't always that great a prayer when he started out. I still thank Brother Ellen for bringing him to church. He wasn't always a member of that church. And that's the work of a dear sister of Israel who brings a spouse to church. And he turned out to be a great blessing to us, especially out here in West Texas, because of his public prayers. We're told in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. Just go pray. Say, I don't know how to pray. Well, first of all, just pray. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But number one, he said, pray without ceasing. I want to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Say, I don't have the words to prayer. I don't know how to word prayer like everybody else does. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Apostle Paul tells us, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You don't know how to pray? The Lord will help you. Spirit, Holy Spirit will help you pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I don't know how to pray, and I don't even know what to ask for. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You don't have to have the perfect words, the Lord said. He knows already. Jesus tells us back in the Sermon on the Mount, he already knows what you need before you even ask. But he says, I want you to come and ask. I want you to be sincere and humble. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Pray. Don't worry about whether you have words to pray or not. Start praying. Just do it, as he tells us. Pray with others. Don't have to pray just by yourself, but you ought to pray with others. Pray with your spouse. There's great reasons for man and woman, husband and wife, ought to pray together. Their kids ought to hear them pray. We ought to pray around the dinner table. We used to do this all a lot when I was growing up as kids, and I see us getting away from that now. Sometimes it's good. That's how you teach your kids to pray. Start off, maybe the dad starts off and prays a little bit, and then the mother might even say a few words, and each one of the kids say a few words, and then the dad can close it out. That way you make it a family prayer. Include the kids in it. Pray with others. We've seen these, you know, prayer groups. Nothing wrong with those. Those are helpful. Praying out loud helps a lot of times. Praying out loud then makes you word things a little better. Now, I'm not expecting you to do this in a big public environment, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Group praying makes a big difference. If you go read Hassell's history, and I know Brother Duane and I talk about a lot about Hassell's history from time to time and things we read. Go read Hassell's history at the time that took place during the Civil War. The churches there on each side of the line between Virginia and South Carolina, all those, they got together and they prayed together over the war. Go read the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. It says Peter was locked up in jail, and the church there, Jerusalem, prayed without ceasing. Then they were surprised when Peter knocked on the door. He was suddenly released from prison. Praying together in a group is effective. As we're told in the Bible, it can have a big impact on us. Third point let's make is, all right, we've talked about prayer works. I want you to go do it, and you go, well, okay, but I still don't know how. Give me some ideas how. If there's any book out there that's called, you know, How To for Dummies, I buy most of them because I figure that's what I need many times. I've got several on my shelves at home, How To for Dummies, especially when I was trying to learn how to use a computer. We'll try to do that a little bit here. Let's talk about how to pray for dummies. And I'm talking to myself. How do we pray to do it? I'm telling you to do it. How do we go about praying? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us we ought to pray without ceasing. Take an hour a day. Schedule it in. Make it a priority. Start off with making it a priority about, I'm going to pray. I encourage you to do it in the mornings before your day gets started. End the day. Again, I try to pray at nighttime, but I'm tired and my prayers turn out to be maybe 30 seconds long. That's sometimes when I find it best if I pray out loud, because then I ask for things specific. An don't let my weariness get to me, but pray in the morning. You know, sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I'll say, you know, I don't have time to pray. I'm busy. I've got a terrible day. I've got to go down and I've got to write some brief. I've got to argue with some lawyer over a contract. I've just got too much stuff to do today to pray. Thank goodness there are times when I'll say, no, Don, stop. Try to read a little scripture. Try to talk to the Lord for just a few minutes. Maybe not an hour, but just for a few minutes. Because when I don't do that, when I say I've got a bad day and I've got to go down, you know, I am prophetic. I do have a bad day. If I say I'm going to have a bad day and I don't have time to pray, I get down and I wind up in being with argument with some other stupid lawyer, just like me. We fight over stuff and it takes me forever. Words don't come to me right when I'm trying to write a brief. But on those times when I'll say, I don't care how busy I am, let me stop. Let me read a little scripture. Let me take time. I've scheduled time to do this. Let me do it. I don't care how busy I am. And I'll take time to be with the Lord. And what I say, I'll just take 5 minutes. Usually it'll turn into 10 or 15 minutes. And I'll get to my office, and you know what? The other lawyer and I didn't argue as much. We came to an agreement pretty quickly. I have to write a brief, and the words just seem to flow a little better. They come to me better. He tells us that in the Sermon on the Mount. He tells us, I know there's all these things in the world that you want to do. I know they're there. I know there's a lot of things. You want clothes. You want work. You want to enjoy life. He said, I know you want to do all those things. I gave clothes to Solomon, the lilies of the field greater than I did to Solomon. But he said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Taking time of a morning to spend with the Lord will give you time during the day, and you won't miss out on anything. You'll get to do all the things you enjoyed. You won't miss a football game. You won't miss a party. You won't miss the opportunity to go shopping. You won't miss the opportunity to play video games. The Lord knows you enjoy all those things about life. He's given us the ability to enjoy. Take time out for him first, and you'll have time to do everything else. So make it a priority. Schedule it in. Schedule in a time to do it. Again, all of you are different. Some of you are morning people. Some of you are night people. I'd prefer to do it in the morning before all the problems of the world get to me. Pick a place. Pick a place, and pick a place that's private. Maybe in your house. You may have some place you do. Maybe it's in your car in the parking lot. Find a place that's nice and quiet. It's hard to do it when you get interruptions and disruptions. Start off with 10 minutes. You'll be at an hour if you do this very much. I guarantee you. You'll be at an hour before long. You'll be giving an hour to the Lord if you'll start off with 5 minutes, because prayer works. You're going to be able to have peace with a lot of your problems. But pick a place. Go over there in the book of Luke when Jesus was wanting to get away and pray. It said he went out in the wilderness alone to pray. After he fed the 5,000 people on the hill, the book of Matthew, I believe it's 17th or 18th. I've forgotten where it is now, but y'all know where he fed the 5,000 people. 14th chapter. In Matthew it says, then he sent his disciples away. He sent the multitude away, and he went up in a mountain apart to pray. A minute ago when we started opening it up, we talked about he went in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had his disciples wait outside, even his closest disciples, Peter, John, and James. He said, y'all stay here. I'm going to go further and pray. Find yourself a place that's private, secure, and that you feel good about. I encourage you to set a time, set a place. Next, make a list. Write down a list who I need to pray for so you'll remember. I want to pray for my family. I've got maybe one of my kids has difficulty, maybe my spouse is, maybe a parent is. I've got a further family member it is. Write them down. Write them down, then it's easy to remember. You don't have to get into long, detailed prayer. Just ask the Lord, help give my son peace. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Ask the Lord, help us with the church. Ask the Lord to return all the members to the church that we're seeing everywhere. You can read in the papers, churches are declining everywhere, not just our church, but all the churches are declining in attendance. People don't see the need. Ask the Lord to give people good judgment. Ask him if it's his will, if he will reveal himself to those people. Let's fill our churches again. Fill our song service again. Bring teachers and preachers and prayers into the church. Again, like Sister Ella did, probably not, Brother Garfield might not have ever been the great public prayer had Sister Ellen not brought him into the church. Make a list. Not only a list, make a journal. Write your prayers in a journal. If you don't feel good wording them, write them out. One reason I like to see you make a list or write a journal is because the Lord answers prayers. Sometimes he answers them in mysterious ways. Sometimes he answers them in ways that are just coincidental. You need to go back last year and see what you prayed for, see how those things were answered. I've been amazed sometimes when I've done things with my family and I've prayed for it and I'll come back later and I went, that problem went away and I didn't even notice it and I didn't pay attention to it. It went away because the Lord will take it away. Pray. Pray, make yourself a list, find a place to do it. And then don't forget one of the most important. When he answers your prayers, tell him thank you. If you go into the, I believe it's 17th chapter of Book of Luke's, 10 leopard, Duke of Luke, one Luke. When 10 lepers come to the Lord and say, Lord, heal us. He visits with them and then he sends them on their way and says, heal, go see the priest and he will tell you you're clear cured of your leprosy. Out of those 10 that went away, one of them, when he realized he'd been cured, came back and thanked the Lord and glorified the Lord. And Jesus asked, where's the other 9? We cured all 9. Only one, it was a Samaritan, only a one had returned to thank him. And he gave him an extra special blessing because he thanked the Lord. Don't fail to go back and thank the Lord when he grants you your prayers. The last one I want to talk to you about today is in the book of Mark. Go to it. Mark chapter 17, the last point about praying. There's a man comes to the disciple. Matthew 17, beginning in the 14th verse. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him, came to Christ, a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. And I think he really was a lunatic. He's not smarting off like I may be prone to do. His son was a lunatic. He said, and sore vexed. Oft times he falleth into the fire and oft times into the water. I've got a real problem with my son, Lord. And he says this, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Your apostles couldn't fix the problems with my son. They tried, and they couldn't fix it. It's a major problem. Jesus answered him, and he went through verse 18. He says, and he rebuked the devil, and he departed out of the son, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? You were able to. Why could we not cast him out? He questions their faith, tells them, first of all, you need to pray with faith. Then he says this in verse 21, howbeit, this kind, the real problems, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, I'm encouraging you to pray daily. I'm encouraging you to pray all the time when you can. Work it in with your work, whether you're driving to work, coming home, if you get a few minutes in your car, if you're doing dishes, if you're cleaning house, whenever you find time, you ought to be praying. Also encourage you to take time that you can devote to the Lord. As we started off this way, spend an hour with the Lord. You don't have to spend it solid praying. Do some reading. Read the Bible. Do some inspirational reading. Take a songbook. Brother Kenny talked about this earlier. Go through, and Brother Randall, read the words of songs. Very inspirational to you. You'll find yourself spending time with the Lord, and you'll get a great benefit of that. But then the Lord also tells us, though, there's some problems that are big problems. Brother Don, I have a major problem. My husband, my wife, they're sick with cancer. I've got a major problem with my son, a daughter. I've got a major problem in the church. Problems that are bigger than just little things. And the Lord says sometimes it takes prayer and fasting. Now, how many in here of us, I'm not talking about dieting or going on a food protest. I'm talking about fasting for the Lord. And he tells us how to do that over. Don't let anybody else know. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. Don't try to show it. Don't be showy with you. But go on a fast. Well, I don't know how to fast either. Don't know how to pray. I certainly don't know how to fast. Again, fasting for dummies. Number one, you do what you need to do to take your medicine. Most of us in this room now take some medicine, and you eat however you need to eat to take care of your medicinal needs. But then, fasting is not difficult. We're not given any specific guidelines, but number one, eliminate animal products for a day. Start off slow, take one day. Eliminate animal products, milk, cheese, all those things like that, dairy products, eggs, meat. Eliminate those. Eliminate caffeine. Start off simple. Eliminate animal products and caffeine. Drink water, fruit juices. Eat fruits, vegetables, nuts. That's not hard. You're not going to starve to death on a diet like that. If you'll start that way, be surprised what fasting, and I don't do it enough, but the few times I have done it, I have found myself in prayer nearly all day. Fasting will bring you into prayer. It's amazing how that works, but when you're fasting, you're conscious of it. I would try to fast, and I would try to go down to my car in the parking lot over the lunch hour and try to have a few nuts or something like that, and I would find that time just talking to the Lord. It will, I don't want to say it will make you pray, but that's the only words I can say. Fasting will lead you into prayer. And if you have a major problem, the Lord tells us, sometimes problems are solved by prayer and fasting. And even in the Sermon Mount, he didn't require fasting, but he tells us, when you fast, here's how to go about doing it. Don't let anybody know. Don't talk about it. Don't brag about it. It's between you and the Lord. It's time when you should have communion directly with the Lord. If you got a major problem, take it to the Lord, fast, and he'll give you relief. You let him give the answer. Don't tell him what the answer should be. Now, you know, I'm mad at Brother Kenny, so Lord, I want you to punish him. Well, I need to let the Lord decide whether Kenny's committed a problem or whether I've committed a problem. And if it's been me, Lord, forgive me. We ought to humble ourselves when we go to prayer. One of the primary elements of prayer is humbling yourself. If my people, which are called by name, shall humble themselves and pray. Go to the 18th chapter of Luke, where the publican and the Pharisee went to the temple, and the Pharisee said, Lord, I've been good. I've been doing all the right things. I've been following the commandments. Thank you for not making me like this lowly publican here. And the publican walked up and fell flat on his face and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, a sinner. The publican is the one that walked away with a blessing that day. Humble yourselves, and fasting will do that for you. Fasting will humble yourself. Now, if you're good enough, you work yourself up to a bread and water diet. Don't start there. Don't try to start. Don't try to be macho like most of us guys do. Start it simple. Take time out once in a while to fast. Plan it and say, next Tuesday, I'm going to fast. I'm going to get rid of all animal products. Just for the day, I'm going to eat vegetables, fruits, nuts, drink water, or drink fruit juice. Keep in mind, there's a force out there that's going to try to stop you. The day you try to fast is the day your spouse is going to cook something you really like. Today you're going to go to the office and they're going to have Krispy Kreme donuts. Satan is going to be trying to stop you from praying, from fasting, because he knows it works too. He understands that the Lord responds to prayer, and he's going to be trying to stop you. Expect it. If you're expecting it to come, you'll see it, and you can laugh about it. Because you'll laugh when your partner brings in Krispy Kreme donuts or those kolaches that are so good. Or someone in your family brings over a great casserole that you're not supposed to be eating, full of meats and stuff that you said you were not going to eat. Expect it to come, because Satan will do everything he can to try to stop you. He'll do everything he can to influence you to break your vow to the Lord. I tell you, I'm going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm looking at the top of the page rather than where I'm at. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Apostle Paul speaking says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest. He is our high priest. That is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Christ is touched when you pray to him asking help. Christ hears it and responds. If you've got problems, he'll hear you. He'll be sympathetic with you, and he'll respond. Apostle Paul tells us he can be touched, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He understands what it's like to be tempted when we are. But he said, therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Apostle Paul says, come boldly to the throne of God. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask for exactly, but I'm to come boldly and I'm to use that right and that privilege. And in doing so, we'll get a great blessing from it. Each one of you has this right, this privilege to go to the Lord in prayer, to solve your problems, to get peace in your heart. Solve problems not only locally, but nationally. Prayer works. Do you have an hour to spend with the Lord? You've been very kind with your attention, and my prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you. You can come ahead, Brother Kenny, and close service.
This subject has been very much on my mind over the last months, to be honest with you. You know, the Apostle Peter says, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, sometimes we don't cast our cares upon the Lord because we don't think the Lord cares about them, but Peter says he does. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 6, actually at the close of Matthew chapter 7, the people that heard Jesus speak were literally astonished at his words. The fact is, we ought to be astonished at his words. The same words were preserved for you and I for our benefit. And in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about almsgiving, he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. The interesting thing is, in each and every one of them, he made it clear that we're to do those practices, we're to practice almsgiving, prayer, and fasting without being recognized by other men, as the hypocrites did. We're not doing it for show. We're not doing it for the fact that somebody will pat us on the back. But the other interesting thing is, he did not say, if you give alms, if you pray, if you fast. He said, when you give alms, when you pray, and when you fast. That tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ expected that to be a part of our life on a daily basis as we go through our journey here upon the earth. It's not about if we do this, that, or the other. Jesus said when you do it. So I believe he expected you and I not only to pray, but to help the poor. That's what almsgiving is, and also to fast. And as Brother Don said, there's not a lot of lessons on fasting. You know, man can live many, many days without food, and I'm not here to encourage you to do that, but I've read some up on it, and I know it's the truth. You can't go a long time without water, but you can go a lot longer without food than you believe you can. May God bless us to take the power of prayer, and hopefully if we know God is faithful to his word, that we'll see a change in our land, in our country, and in our own lives, in our families, in our churches. You know, I pray that I might know him better. I believe that's where it starts. Hallow thy name, that we might know the presence of God in our lives. You know, that's what this is all about. He's spoken to us. Let's speak to him through the avenue of prayer.